So I get up in a ladder and I start calling. I said, guess me. She moved out of the way.
It used to be high.
What would you do? You stand there letting him call you?
It's all.
No.
Everything.
I've already said this.
If I had made it, I would have. But smarter than I am.
I think they got me through.
Yeah, they had nice.
Can they definitely?
It's like there.
Yeah, looks like. But when he makes product, you can take.
You've been in this winter. Well, that's where they're all.
Somehow. You definitely, I had to stay awake all night. Kept calling.
The rest of the town.
It's actually.
Just want to clear with the strap.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call the meeting of the Carson City Planning Commission of August 26th to order. First of all, to start off, I'd like to introduce the newest board member, Elise Monroy. And we welcome her to the commission. We look forward to her participation. Would you call the roll, please?
Vice Chair Esswein.
Present.
Commissioner Castro. Commissioner Green. Commissioner Monroy. Commissioner Owens.
Yes.
Commissioner Salerno.
Here.
Commissioner Sadler.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Mr. Sadler, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this time, the public is invited to comment on or discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. At the just for your information, if you are here for public comment on a specific topic, we'll call for public comment after or as part of the discussion of that topic. Is anyone here for just a general comment to the Planning Commission? Thank you. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of July 29, 2015.
I move for approval.
A second.
We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Salerno and a second by Commissioner Green.
For the record, this is Elise Monroy. I'll abstain from this vote as I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the minutes? I'll call for the vote then. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, minutes are accepted. Disclosures or modification of the agenda. Any modification of the agenda?
No. And good evening, Lee Plummel, Community Development Director. No modifications. I do want to note that the first item on the public hearing for action items is to elect a Planning Commission chairman, as you know, with Commissioner Wendell being replaced, and this is the time annually when you elect a chairperson. So that'll be the first item. So to whoever is the chairperson elected, we will be taking item, we don't have any recommended changes, taking the items in order, but we'll be taking items F5A and F5B together as they both pertain to the same project.
Okay, thank you. Any disclosures? Does any member of the commission wish to explain a contact with the applicant or the public regarding any item on the agenda? Okay, there are no disclosures. So we'll move into public hearings. Before we start the public hearings, I'd just like to explain sort of the process on public hearings for the audience. I know. The first step in the public hearing process will be a staff report. where the staff will give a report on the item. The Planning Commission then will be able to ask questions of the staff. Then the applicant will be asked to make a presentation. The Planning Commission will then be able to ask questions of the applicant. After the applicant has presented and the Planning Commission is finished with their questions, the public will be invited to comment on the item. And we would ask that the public address their comments to the commission, not to the applicant. The commissioners may then ask questions of anybody who's making a comment. And then what the applicant can then make a rebuttal or respond to any public comment, after which the Planning Commission can follow up with the applicant. And then finally, a motion will be entertained to approve or deny or continue the application. So right now we'll go with item F1 for possible action to elect a Planning Commission chairman and vice chairman for the term ending July 2016.
I would like to nominate Paul Eswin to be chair for the next year.
I'll second that.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, we'll ask for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We will take a nominations for the vice chair.
I would like to nominate, Mark Sadler as vice chair.
I'll second that. Any other nominations for vice chair? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor of Mr. Sadler as a vice chair, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None?
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Item F2, SUP-15-063 for possible action to conduct a 5-year review of a previously approved special use permit, SUP-05-132, granted to Richard and Doris Atkins, property owners, Atkin Trust, Family Trust, 10794, for 4 existing storage containers on property zone general commercial located at 4261 Highway East, APN 008-292-27. Mr. Pummel or Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Susan Pansky, Planning Manager. As the chairman mentioned, this is a request for a 5-year review of the placement of storage containers at the Atkins House Carpet located on Highway 50. These containers have been located in this spot since 2005, so this is actually the second 5-year review that's being conducted. As you'll see on the aerial on your screen, this site is located just east of the Fairview Drive Highway 50 intersection. And this is an aerial that is looking at the back side of the building where the storage containers are located. You can see the 4 of them here on either side of their roll-up door. The front side of the building. The storage containers from one of the sides, and then the storage containers from the rear. There hasn't been any change to the conditions. They're still meeting them. I would like to note we have requested the addition of a condition. We noted in our site visit that some of the containers are starting to rust a little bit, and while it's not significant and requiring attention during this review, we have requested that they make sure they paint them prior to coming back for their review in 2020. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions for Ms. Pansky? Is the applicant here? Please step forward. And identify yourself for the record, please.
Cynthia Porcello, the Secretary Batkins.
Okay. Have you had a chance to review the conditions of approval? proposed by the staff?
Yeah, I read it.
Do you have any objections to the?
No, we can ping them.
Okay. Do you have any comments to make?
They are starting to rust a little, but it will get them painted. It should help.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for the applicant?
Okay. I have one question. What color will you repaint it?
Probably the same color as the building, so the neutral, the blue maybe.
Same color.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Anyone from the public wish to comment on this application? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Any discussion of this item? I'm ready for a motion then.
I move to approve, Monica Green for the record, sorry. I move to approve SUP-15-063, a special use permit request from Richard and Doris Atkins, property owners of Atkins Family Trust, 10794, for a 5-year review of 4 existing storage containers in the general commercial zoning district located at 4261 Highway 50 East, APN 000-292-27, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval contained in the staff report. 008. What did I say?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this item? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you. Item F3, SUP-15-065, for possible action, to consider a request from Bethlehem Lutheran School, property owner Bethlehem Lutheran School, agent J.P. Kopolis, for a special use permit to allow the addition of classrooms to an existing school and modification of the school site, playground, and outside sports areas on property zone single-family residential 6000 SF6, located at 1845 Mountain Street, APN 001-111-33. Ms. Pansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request to make some modifications to the existing Bethlehem Lutheran School site. This parcel is located on Mountain Street. It also is adjacent to Ivy Street on the western side. You can see the cul-de-sac that kind of goes into the current property. That's the subject of some of the improvements that are being proposed by the applicant. Just another picture of what the site looks like. This is looking from the south at the property. And then I'll note that the Bethlehem Lutheran, the Lutheran Church is here and the school is here at the back. Some photos. This is the existing outdoor playground area for the children. This is proposed to be relocated, and school classrooms will be constructed in this location. The sports courts and playground will be relocated under this proposal to the existing field to the east of the school. This is a picture of the parsonage that's adjacent to the school now. And also looking down Ivy Street, this would be the north end of the sports court area. And the site plan, this is an overall site plan that includes the church. You'll see the church here. Right now, there are sports courts located in this location that I'm identifying. This is proposed to be parking to accommodate all of the uses on the site. As I noted, the playground area is located here. This is proposed to be new classrooms. And then the sports courts would be relocated to the end of Ivy Street in this location. And then the playground would be located adjacent to it to the east. This is an existing right-of-way within Carson City. It would need to be abandoned, and we've recommended a condition as such. Another site plan that shows, again, what's being proposed. This actually shows the classrooms and the sports court a little bit more clearly, but basically the same thing as the other site plan. And then some elevations for the proposed classroom addition. Staff is recommending approval. I'll note that we have received three separate late information items on this that you have received both via email and also in hard copy today, two from adjacent property owners and then one from the applicant. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Pansky?
I do. I've noticed that there are swings and that sort of thing in the existing situation. Will that continue with the new relocation?
I don't believe the applicant has specified the playground equipment, but staff assumes that yes, the existing equipment would be relocated.
That would be located over there also?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For some reason, can come. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Pansky?
I have a question. I'm looking at the map that we got today with the late info. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what I'm seeing. So I see the where it says relocated sports courts, and then I see the adjacent residences, and then between those two spaces, there's a looks like a grass and tree area. How big is that? How big is that area?
I'm going to have to defer to the applicant because it's not dimensioned on this, but I'm sure he can answer that question.
Okay, great.
You.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is the applicant here? Please identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is John Kopelos. I'm representing the Bethlehem Lutheran School as their architect.
Okay, thank you. Have you read the staff report?
Yes.
And you're aware of the conditions?
Correct.
And you are in agreement with those?
We had a question about deep within the report there was a request for a traffic study, and we don't know how involved that is. Okay.
Well, it would only be a condition if it were in the conditions of approval.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we found it in the engineering staff request.
Okay, well, that might be.
It actually is listed as a condition of approval, number 20. More information on existing and new traffic numbers must be submitted with the construction permit.
Okay.
We just want a clarification. What are they looking for that? Part of the problem is Fritsch School is there as well.
Right.
So
well,
how do you identify whose cars are whose?
I think that the I shouldn't speak for that. Maybe the engineer can address this.
Danny Rotter, engineer manager for the record. I think the information you provided in the late information is what we requested.
Oh.
So
that got turned in weeks ago. Yeah, we don't know what happened in the report, but both of these documents were, this plan was requested by the fire department. They asked us for the fire radius on their easement. So we did that probably about 3 weeks ago. And then Rory, the engineering tech, asked us for the additional traffic info. And we did that several weeks ago as well.
So we had received the site plan that you had provided, and it was in the staff report. But this other project impact report, it wouldn't have made it into the staff report if it didn't come to planning, unfortunately. So
it
maybe
did.
That's where
yeah,
the problem was.
I sent it to Kathy. Yeah.
Well, we have it now.
And, yeah, okay.
And if it meets the conditions of approval, then
yeah, so that's our question. Is that traffic information?
I would say that condition is met.
Okay.
I would just note it, leave it in there as a condition, and that the late information has met that request.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you like to explain the project?
The school is experiencing a lot of growth. In addition, the latest legislative session is changing how private schools are going to get funded, and they anticipate more growth. The school right now, I don't really want to say it's overcrowded, but it's overcrowded per the school's philosophy in terms of teacher-to-student ratio, so the expansion, for the most part, is already absorbed once the expansion takes place. We estimated approximately 20 new students. That's where we generated the additional cars, because there's no busing to it. Cars would be the main form of students getting there. Although the principal, Mr. Cargas, who is here as well, informed me that they've got about 3 students on Ivy Street, so it's an easy walk.
Okay. Any other information you'd like to provide?
As far as moving, obviously the playground to the north is being moved because that's where the addition is going. Up till now, they've been using the parking lot for their sports court, and as more traffic with the school has already taken place, there's a safety issue with that. They wanted to get it out of the parking lot. As planning reviewed the site, they need those spaces to justify the expansion of the school. Although we did look at the church and school using shared parking, knowing that the different hours of the two facilities. So as far as the sports courts go, our original idea was to put them in the cul-de-sac, but there isn't really any paving there that's worthwhile. And one of our goals was that part of the site drainage, it really looks like a ball diamond back there, but it's a depressed area that right now suffices for their drainage. One of the letters that we just received today with pictures of drainage issues presents an interesting question. I mean, Ivy Street is basically draining on the owner's property, and I don't, something's going to have to be resolved there. Do we help the city solve that? I don't know. That's something we got to look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that that much drainage was coming off of Ivy Street onto private property. And so that's something we'll have to look at. I know that Resource Concepts, when we did the addition to the east, we did all of those drainage improvements. And the additional classroom hardscape space, we anticipate maybe that drainage basin needs to be deeper. But it's a grass area, and even to make it a foot deeper, we could still keep it as a grass area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Sattler.
What is currently between where the ball fields are going in the new classroom and that lightly shaded area? Where the circles are and that, I was there yesterday, and I'm just trying to determine what that is.
I'm not sure which you kind of point.
That's the parsonage.
Oh, that's the parsonage right there.
Okay.
It's a single-family house.
Okay.
And right now, the front edge of the sports court would stop at that driveway.
Gotcha.
One of the letters that we received today complained about traffic drop-off there. The school realizes that itself, and for that reason, we wanted 6-foot-high fence, locked gate there. The fire department would still want access through it, either with a knock box or bolt cutters, however they decide they want that access.
I was in that back section, and right where that drain is on Ivy Street, there is a low area going towards
yeah.
your property that's kind of gravel and that. I think that's where most of that water is gathering.
Yeah, it is. It just surprised me that I would have thought from Ivy Street all that water would be going towards Mountain. But
are you familiar with the letters that were
sent? We just saw them today. Yeah, we saw them today around 11 o'clock.
Because I was back in there, and most of those homes along Ivy Street there have front porch swings and patios and all that out front. Where your playground is now, there's a fence and there's trees. I mean, they've been there forever.
Right, right.
But this actually is going to be putting it right out in front of all these people's front yards, just to the right of them, and that
Correct.
Sort of thing.
Correct.
And I can relate to that because my house is on the southeast corner of Seeliger School.
Oh,
and the
right.
school wasn't there when I built the house, but I confirmed what was going to be there before I built it.
Right.
Because the playground now is on the other side. Yeah. So I understand where
those... Could you point to the north, kind of northeast corner of the sports court? Yeah, right in there. Right now, there is probably about a 20-foot buffer with existing trees, which we planned on maintaining. So that buffer does help to the north. And if it wasn't for the fire department wanting access all the way through Ivy, we could continue that buffer. But unfortunately, that's about the best we can do.
Right past that buffer, as I say, there's three or four homes, and it's their front yards and driveways and stuff. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions for the applicant?
I had a question, Elise Monroy, for the record. I had a question. I think you might have just answered it about the buffer, I think is what we're calling it. So that's the dimensions of that, like 20 feet
between the... Approximately that. And I really didn't put a dimension to it.
Okay.
Is it more? Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, but those trees that are there are existing. They're pretty good size.
I think I had a note. I'm trying to find it here. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. It appears, according to scale, that it's about 25 feet from the east edge of the sports court to the property line. 25 feet.
Okay.
Is what it seems to be, according to scale. And I assume the scale's right. I'm used to working with them. I'm an architect.
Okay.
So, it's those trees that are along there, you know, I visited the site, but I didn't look at them as much as I should have. Could you describe what those trees are? Are they mature? Or what are they?
They're birch.
Birch. Okay, they're birch.
About 20 years old.
20 years old. Had you considered the possibility of providing some shrubbery on that side that would shield the neighbors that are to the east?
We could certainly do that, yeah.
That might be a...
One of the conditions is that we study the landscape ordinance against the site. And granted, we have a considerable amount of good size existing trees on the site. We could certainly, I mean, if that wanted to be a condition, I mean, we could add that as a condition to improve the buffer there. Yeah, I think the shrubbery would be like in the 6-foot good size things,
sure,
you know, in that range.
Thank
and
you.
Certainly the there's space there to do it.
Okay. You have anything else to add, or principal, anything to add?
Thank you.
Could you identify yourself?
My name is Lonnie Cargis. I'm the principal at Bethlehem Lutheran School. I've been there since 1990. Simply put, let's just say if we didn't do any construction, the playground in itself, we were looking for that just for the safety of the children, to move them all in one area, as opposed to having a backfield where I have kids in the back playing soccer or football, some kids on a parking lot playing basketball, and some out on the playground area, trying to put them in one area to keep them safe, keep them in one location. That in itself is one of the most important things. While we are looking for the addition after that, of course, it doesn't happen unless we can move that playground.
Okay, thank you. Question.
And I went through, actually went into the yesterday, and right now your playground's kind of in line with the playground. Of course, that whole section of the school next door is a playground.
Right.
But I just know from my school at Seeliger, those ball courts are used all the time till dark at night, and they're right awful close to those houses. Is there any chance of flipping to where the ball court could be closer to the other property and do something where that corner wouldn't be so heavily used?
That was something we've thought of. I think the only reason we had done this was in this particular case was to try to help the fire department have a solid surface to be able to get through.
Because I think that, you know, you haven't met with the people that wrote the letters. You probably haven't had time, but that seemed to be their main complaint, was going to be noise level, et cetera, mm-hmm, back there.
Yeah, and we don't want to put any lighting back there either, where somebody would be back there at night. That's not our plan.
Is the campus closed after school hours?
It's supposed to be. But you get neighbor. Well, we've got three kids that live just within that area of Ivy Street, and people who live in the neighborhood, they come in and grab in and visit the place. And I know I show up there at a different hour, and there'll be people there. So the school itself is closed, but there'll be people making use of.
But the yard is not locked.
No.
Well, and basically, looking at some of that playground equipment is quite tall. And right now where it is, the trees and that on the houses there are high enough with someone on top of that playground equipment's going to be looking right down in those people's properties that are first two homes that are there. Right. I mean, it's
with
tall.
With the trees that are there, I don't think that would be, in terms of looking over the tree, I don't think it would happen now.
Susan, can you bring up the aerial of that site, please?
I don't remember seeing that many trees back there.
I think there's...
ones?
No. Back up one.
Yeah.
Is there four or five trees?
Those three or four are there, okay, yeah. Between the property.
And there's about one more beyond that.
Right. I see that. Thank you.
There you see.
Right.
Of course, in the winter, you don't have any leaves.
Right. And the current playground looks into someone's backyard, too.
Right.
Any other questions for the applicant? No. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
At this time, we'll ask the public to address this issue. We'd like you to keep your comments as brief as possible, but you'll be allowed to, express whatever you need to express. If you are repeating what someone before you has said, could you say that we agree with so-and-so, and so we don't have to reiterate comments. So at this time, public comment.
Good evening. My name is Jared Fazer. My wife and I are the property owners on the northeast side, north side of the field there. You received my letter. So I just had a few, I guess, extra comments just to kind of get, you each mentioned that, you were able to visit the site, but, just for some scale purposes, this sports court is going to be closer to my property than the neighbor across the street from me is. The sports court will be literally the dead end of the street. It will dead end into a 6-foot fence and then asphalt. Currently, we enjoy the open grass area. It's one of the main reasons we bought this home. In my experience as being young and playing basketball, a 6-foot high fence doesn't necessarily stop a basketball, especially when it's right next to the court like that, having no buffer in between. Another one of my concerns is that I think it said that it was 3.5 acres that Bethlehem Lutheran currently has, with the added building, sports courts, and playground. I feel that the amount of developed land for a residential neighborhood is kind of over the top. The majority of their land will be developed. That's more along the lines of a shopping center, not a neighborhood. And this is where we live. This is our neighborhood, and we enjoy the quietness of it. I had read in their proposal that the school's been there for 30 years and there's been no problems, but the reminder is that the homes were built in 1965. They were there first. It is the neighborhood first above anything else. And that's pretty much all I had. Thank you.
Any questions?
Do you see any possibility of reconfiguration or something that would be more amenable to you? Or
I mean, we would definitely be open to seeing other ideas. The church has been good neighbors. We're not opposed to them having what they need to have, but we are opposed to having a basketball court. I measured it as 27 feet from my property. My living room window is on that side of the house, and I can look and see right where the playground area is. I currently don't work on Fridays, so I'm home during the day. And now, you know, I can hear the children playing now, but like, you know, I said in the letter, it's blocked by the buildings, their current buildings. You know, by putting it in this open field, you know, the sound's going to run forever. You know, that's another thing that, you know, we would like to see is, you know, some kind of a sound engineering report on, you know, how far the sound will travel, how many residents will it affect. And like I said, also, you know, seeing the traffic numbers rise on Ivy Street. I mean, I've got a front window that looks right out of the street, and you know exactly when a car doesn't belong because it's like, well, where are these people going? And they turn around and head right back out. Yeah, that and of course the drainage issue, you know, all that accumulation in that photo was like a 15-minute storm. Granted, it rained a lot, but it was still only 15 minutes. In the wintertime, my driveway is an ice rink. You kind of got to get a running start to get into it and out of it. You know, currently, I'm guessing it's draining to Carson City public land, is that dirt area. And with the, you know, with abandonment, it would be then private property. So I'm not sure what would have to happen then.
Well, and being back there yesterday, the street drain is quite a bit higher than any part of that property. I mean, the street drain right now in front of your driveway mm-hmm. is quite a bit higher than anything back in that whole lot here.
Exactly. Yeah, it definitely pools right there. It pools when people run their sprinklers. So any storm we get is definitely.
Yeah, I would just note that drainage issue is a city issue, not. Really has nothing to do with the school.
Because no, that's it's correct. From, that's correct. Yeah,
it's water from the road.
However, my point with that was if this is abandoned, then it's now draining to put. You know,
right. Well, it sounded like the applicant was interested in at least discussing the possibility of improving the drainage.
Okay.
Because if they put their courts there, it's going to have an effect on that too.
Exactly.
So, any other questions for this?
Yeah, I would. Just from looking at the layout there, would you be opposed to them adding their courts internally where their parking is and turning that into a parking lot?
My biggest concern with that would be is the amount of traffic then coming down Ivy, you know, and at what times, you know, would that traffic be? Because like I said, that, you know, we were informed by the previous pastor that, you know, parents were not allowed to pick up back there. They still do. So I wouldn't want it to become like the main pickup area, drop-off area for the school. It would be my biggest concern.
It would seem to me that if there's going to be, right now there's no gate there, that if they put up a 6-foot fence with a locked gate, that would prohibit kids from using
that. There is a man gate that the children currently use, and that's located just south of the pastor's house at the kind of at the north end of the building there is a man gate that's right. Always open,
but the gate, the new gate, will go across the end of Ivy Street.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this man gate will still be,
I don't,
because it's set back from the grass, it's further south than the grass line. There's a man gate there at this piece of the building that comes out to the east there. There is a man gate there that's always open, and that's where the children go in and out now.
Right, but that would be access to, if I'm not mistaken, access to the playground area.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll address that at a later. Any other questions?
I have one question. How would you feel if we, if the sports courts were moved south, to the south border in that area, and had the open area, the grassed area, closest to your house? How would you feel about that?
You know, I understand why they didn't, because they do have that detention basin for the drainage over there. So I'm not sure if they can put that in there. I don't know. I would love to have that buffer, have them push back more towards Fritch Elementary, because, you know, that's where noise is coming from anyway. So put the two playgrounds together. We wouldn't be opposed to that if they could make that happen. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to address this? Please step forward. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Hi, yeah. My name is Barbara Nicholas, and I live at 601 Ivy Street. which is right across the street from the gentleman that just spoke. And if you went around there, you probably know which house is mine. It's on the corner. As I said in my letter, I'm not sure that everybody got to read that letter, but that really says it all, that I purchased that house a year ago this month, very specifically because the neighborhood was very quiet. And as I said in the letter, being a pediatric nurse, I love kids. I have nothing against that. My backyard literally backs up to the playground now, and the structures are not exactly what they spoke about. The structures are probably 18 feet high. They literally look down into my pool area, and I see the kids, and I don't, you know, I've never complained about it. I've seen those people dropping off the kids in the morning, but it's, you know, five or six cars. I see them parking there to pick up the kids that don't want to go into the traffic on Mountain where all the rest of the kids are picked up. I know that if this happens, it will be a thoroughfare. And as I said in my letter, I specifically went to the city before I purchased this house to be sure that this was not going to happen. So I was shocked because I had just gotten home from LA and saw that letter. That court would, and I know from kids and basketball, even now the kids play way after hours, till dark, sometimes after dark in that area. I don't, never complain to the church. I've never complained to the city. That's not my objective. But this court would change the nature of the whole neighborhood, not only traffic, which would be a major concern, but that court would literally be, it would be, I know what the sound of a basketball court is because I used to play years ago, and it would be constant. It would be the kids at school. It would be the teenagers in the evening. It would be adults that would come because basketball courts, you know, guys like it, and that's understandable. But it would literally be constant noise, constant traffic. And as I said in my letter, I would not have even considered ever buying that house. They said it was at least 20 years. There's no changes proposed. And it's going to change. It would change my life to the point where it would be unbearable. What you're talking about, moving it closer to Fritch, it would make all the difference. I mean, maybe you were going to ask me that. But, you know, my having a medical issue that means I have to sleep during the day, it would never be possible. My kitchen, my family room, my yard, my side yard, all would be right, literally. I mean, it's, I don't know if you saw the driveway. It's literally right outside. It would be like living in the middle of a schoolyard, and I couldn't do it. And so I was just so shocked by the proposal. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but that's my
questions.
Ms. Yes. Nichols, again, did you say if they pushed it all the way down to the south end?
Next to Fritch's
next
playground.
Next to Fritch, down where the straight yellow line is, down and put the playground and
yeah.
parks there?
I mean, they already hear the kids, and I right. don't mind that. I moved there knowing there would be kids right. during the day. I didn't know that it would be evenings and summers because I hadn't been told that. But, you know, kids' noise, kids' voices a little bit far away is acceptable. I've never complained. But if it were a basketball court literally right next to my house, it would be unbearable.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Nichols? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the public wish to comment? Please step forward. Identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, my name is Richard Yen. My wife and I were property owners at 1863 Ivy Street, just across the street from Barbara. We're sort of the corner pocket there, and two houses down from Jared. Thank you so much for taking time today to listen to our concerns. And I guess I'd like to thank the church community for being great neighbors. We knew the pastor before he left, and Him and his family were very friendly, and we miss having him around.
Please address the commission.
I'm sorry. I should take a second. We echo the same concerns that both Jared and Barbara had, especially with regard to noise. We purchased our house with this sort of the same mind frame that Barbara had, that we wanted a quiet place to live in without a lot of traffic. We just started a family. I have a three-year-old, or almost a three-year-old, and a two-month-old, you know, I always envisioned them being able to play in the street, ride their bicycles around without being scared that there'd be traffic, and that was a primary reason why we purchased the house where we did. That is a, we are adamantly against any sort of, I overheard some talk about a parking lot there. That would, yeah, that's just not something we're great fans of. We're also, if you do decide to move forward with the project, we do ask that you mandate that any construction equipment or anything they need to build, what they need to build, be routed through their parking lot and not down our street, if that's a possibility. It would cut down a lot on the noise. And the reason why I voiced that is because our three-month-old, if she can get a half hour or an hour of sleep during the day, just a little bit of noise wakes her up and drives my wife crazy that she spent the last, you know, 2 hours trying to put our child to sleep. And so that is a concern with large trucks coming through there. Let me make sure I got everything. Noise from construction, and then again, impact of additional traffic, and I can't stress enough, that's the reason we bought the house, was because it's at the end of a dead-end street. Yeah, I guess that's it. There's already a ton of traffic on Mountain, and I guess Jared had already said this too. Every morning I come out, and usually I can't turn left, which brings me to work. I have to go out and around with, you know, additional students. We can only think that, as Barbara had mentioned earlier, that it would just make our street perhaps unbearable, and not the reason why we purchased the home to begin with. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to address this item? Please step forward. Identify yourself for the record.
My name is Linda Hardy. And I live with my mother, who lives right next door to Jared on the north. And she and my dad were the original purchasers of that house. And I believe it was the third one on the block at the time. And there was nothing there when they bought it. So it has changed a lot in character. And until just recently, actually, most of the people who lived on the block were in the same age group as my mom. And she's going to be 97 in November. Her name is Peggy Larson. And she, being that age, sleeps quite a bit. And her room, unfortunately, is on that end of the house. And I just think that that's going to be a big disturbance for her, not that she's going to be around a lot longer. But I think the reason that she and my dad bought there was that it was very, very quiet at the time and has been most of her time on the block. And I think that in her behalf, I would like to say that she would like to hope that some other means of filling everyone's requests will be found rather than having a basketball court right outside her bedroom window. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address this item? I'd like to give the applicant an opportunity to address any public concerns.
Yeah, we're not sure what, there really wasn't any questions for us to answer. I would only say that, I mean, the existing playground and sports courts are in the vicinity of the neighborhood. And yeah, they're getting flipped the east side, but they've been there all of that time. So
we have
entertained the possibility of your suggestion, but to move the courts to the south, I just don't know how the drainage gets affected. And I don't know, permitting-wise, I mean, we got to come back in front of the commission again?
Not if it were just a site modification.
Yeah.
The special use permit would be for the relocation of the ball fields and the addition of the classrooms, not necessarily the location of the courts. Is that correct?
You can actually put in your motion that you're approving it with the understanding that it's being moved, and we would do it that way. But they wouldn't have to come back in front of the commission once that occurred.
Okay, thank you.
I know there's some different costs involved, and that's why I've got to ask the client. But right now, because it is preliminary in nature, that would be our big question, what happens to our site drainage-wise.
Okay.
But offhand, I can't see any reason why we couldn't flip the whole thing and deal with those issues.
Okay. I have a question. The fence that's going to go, the fence that's going to go along across the Ivy Street court, or the dead end there, that will be locked. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so that
we'll close off whatever pedestrian access.
Okay. There will be no pedestrian access, correct. even through that gate that between the classrooms and the parsonage now.
Yeah.
We do have this one access, and our pastor used to access through there all the time. We had been told many years ago after 9/11, we had to leave that gate open for emergencies. Now, we haven't locked it up at night, and it's a possibility after school is out, we could lock that up. I guess the idea is if we had to evacuate and leave the premises, we have to be able to get out that gate.
I think the concern is that children currently use that exit to get out to the street for their parents to pick them up. And if there was some way to...
I'm not sure how many are actually exiting that way, because I do know we have several kids who live that in the neighborhood and walk out to their homes. I'm usually doing parking lot duty, so I'm not back there to see how many parents are actually showing up.
But it sounds like from the public comment that there is a fair amount of traffic using Ivy Street. If there were no pedestrian access there, there would be no reason for that traffic to be there.
Right.
So if that might be something that you could address or look at to somehow restrict the access there, because we can't restrict traffic on a public street, so we can't say, well, you can't use Ivy Street, but if there's no reason to use Ivy Street, then...
The only thing I can answer, at least when school starts, if they drop them off, they have to walk all the way around to the front of the building. They can't even get in. Uh-huh. So that's at the beginning of the day. I can't speak to the afternoon because there's other exits to panic bars and so forth to get out.
Okay. Is there any problem with a restriction that would limit construction equipment to entering off of the Mountain Street?
The only thing that comes to mind, and I don't know how heavy the machinery is, they should be able to drive down that, because the fire trucks.
If fire trucks can do it, then your construction equipment can.
Okay, so if they're able to do it, then it should be okay.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Mark, go ahead.
A couple things. One of my concerns is where your ballparks are, where they play ball now, most people don't even know it's there because it's between the buildings. And again, relating to where I live over at Seeliger School, I'm on the teacher's parking lot, but I've watched high school kids go into the kindergarten playground at 11 o'clock at night to mess around in there. And with your basketball courts that close to Ivy, everyone's going to know they're there, and how much outside play is a concern. So, and it seems to be the main problem seems to be a noise factor. So again, if the playground and ball fields were brought closer to the other school on the other end, if you would consider that, I think that would probably alleviate a lot of the concerns. I don't know if that's something you can consider or not.
We've actually, John's done a preliminary drawing for that possibility. But again, it comes back to, I think, this drainage, how that impacts that.
Right. I mean, it may be that that's the lowest corner of the property. It probably is a low corner, and that's where the drainage is going to go.
That's why it's where it is right now, because it's the lowest corner.
If the playground on DG and everything is back in there, I mean, drainage could be, it may be a help to even get the water out. If the basketball court's closer up to the building and the playground's further, but whatever. I mean, there might be a way to work that. I think it would solve a lot of heartburn for a lot of people if that's considered, so. Anyway, that's just my only comment. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Okay, just two things. I think that it sounds, Elise Monroy for the record. It sounds like there were actually some questions anyways about the drainage and what that might look like, so it might be worth the opportunity to look into what the existing drainage or changes could be. And then I agree with Commissioner Sattler that it sounds like it's a noise issue and possibly looking at reconfiguring the plans and moving the sports courts back deeper could solve some heartburn. So thank you.
Commissioner Salerno.
Yeah, I visited the site, and it seems that if the drainage is in the area where they're currently proposing the basketball court, that if they switched it and moved it to the southerly boundary and closer to the school's buildings, the basketball court, that there didn't seem to be a huge difference in elevation. It would seem that it might require a little bit of grading and maybe movement of the drainage, unless it's in the street. I'm not sure, because I didn't see the drainage at that end of the building. Do we know just where that drainage is currently? Does anybody know?
I can explain the drainage on our site. If you could point.
Could you go up and point out where you think the drainage is? It's a pond, and it's not connected to a drainage structure.
Yes, it is. It's if you follow the property line at Fritch south, okay. There's a ditch there that's where the overflow is to it.
Right, I see.
So, and that happens to be the lowest point of the site. So, I mean, we could look at flipping, which I think will make it work, however, but now we're putting drainage up higher on the site than our low point.
Well, it's just a matter of moving some dirt, perhaps.
Yeah. We'll get it to work, that's all. You know. Right now, let's propose that we flip the courts and the drainage.
And the playground.
So that it's to the south. And if that's an acceptable proposal to the Planning Commission, then we'll propose that. And if we can work with that plan with staff and get that approval from a planning standpoint, then we can move forward with permit drawings.
Okay. Mr. Owens.
Just kind of a comment. We really haven't dealt with the playground, just the ball court.
Well, it's all in one.
And it's all in one. Yeah. It would all
move. Could
you
call up the other drawing that shows one of the, there you go.
Yeah, you'd move the playground. Yeah,
now, could you point to the
both
east
of those
of the,
features would move.
Is this
now?
No.
Okay, now. Right,
thank you. Yeah, right now, the playground is there and the courts are there, and if we flipped them, the playground would be there, the courts would be here.
Okay, so the playground would actually move
as well
with the courts.
This is the existing drainage area. We would flip it, and we would just have to figure out
And the only other comment that I would make is the as far as the traffic and the people dropping kids off is not really why we're here tonight. And that's not part of this. So I don't think we're really addressing that unless we increase that with the court being at that north end.
Mr. Sattler.
Again, I was there yesterday, and the majority of the people, the way you do it, you come in off Mountain, and then you go through the parking lot and out the other side right next to the church. And I sat there through most of the pickup looking in my rear view, and I did not see much on Ivy. I just saw everyone coming and looping through there. So,
and I think if you wanted to make a condition that we somehow address whatever pedestrian gate is there, we'll just have to work on the security side of it. Yeah, because of some of the school issues that have happened around the country.
Right.
One of the things, we did a single point entry similar to what the school district has done. And I mean, that's part of the reason why we're putting a 6-foot fence there as well. We're trying to secure the site a little bit better.
Because I believe right now the fence there is only like 4 feet.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to jump over.
Yeah.
And it's not locked either.
And is there a fence between Frisch and your school?
Yes, there is.
Is there any access between the two?
There has not been. But okay. That might be something we explore. I don't know.
There's a gate that we don't use that's locked, but there is. It's a possibility. I mean, if we had to do it in an emergency, it takes a key and somebody would have to run over there. So it's, but it, there is a possibility of using that if we had to escape out that way. But.
Okay. If you mentioned that you are required to leave the gate open or unlocked,
right,
during school hours, yeah. But it is a. I thought that for security reasons, you're only supposed to have one entrance to the school. So that's
where. That was, you know, like 2002, 2003, something when somebody walked, the Sheriff's Department, I think, walked the site, suggested that we have an escape route.
Just an exit from the property, yeah. So they aren't climbing fences.
Right. Right. But that sort of frustrates the idea of a single entrance to the school.
Well, all that does is just get someone to the playground. It doesn't get him, or to the outside. It doesn't get him inside the school.
Okay, and it?
It's on the outside. It's right next to the parsonage, right. Near the school area. So but the pastor used that. I think he's the one who took the lock off and used that to walk to his office to the church side.
So which side of the gate at Ivy Street would it be on?
Right there.
So okay, so if you kept the gate at Ivy Street locked, there would be no access to pedestrian access to Ivy Street.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. That clarifies my concern. Okay.
Yes. And I think another thing, again, thank you, by flipping that would discourage most people, wouldn't even know it's back there for outside play, because honestly, I've lived here since 71, and I didn't know those homes were on the backside of Ivy. I thought it went in and through or something. So I think that would also be a benefit from that as well.
Right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, I will bring it back for discussion. It appears to me that the applicant has indicated that they're willing to accept a condition that we flip the playgrounds, or the ball courts and the playgrounds, and that really the pedestrian access would be at least mitigated by having a locked gate at the end of Ivy Street, which would preclude people from having to use Ivy Street as a pickup area. And then I also heard them indicate that they would be willing to perhaps add additional landscaping, although if they're moving the playgrounds, they may not need to do that landscaping. And limiting construction equipment access to the Mountain Street entrance and exit area. And I would like to add those as conditions should we consider this. Mr. Owen.
just to throw it out there, if you limit the construction equipment access, then you're going to limit the time of day, which puts the construction equipment going through a schoolyard. And I'm not sure that having that equipment running back and forth through the school is optimum either.
Well, I've a question for the applicant then. Your construction schedule, would it be during school year or would it be during the summer?
Can't answer right now. I thought we were going to have a permit to move the playground before school started, and here it is, September already. So.
Well, that might pose a problem, but it probably isn't any different than, I mean, there are kids using that field anyway, if I'm not mistaken. So it's six of one, half dozen of the other. But it may be worth noting that.
John Kopelos, for the record, I did recently just do a project over at Fritch, and the contractor was very good about working with the neighborhood. So I think we could probably work out something similar. I'm unsure what kind of requirements city engineering is going to have us do, because part of Ivy Street is really deteriorated, that end of the street, and you know, we're going to have to do paving there. I just don't know what we're going to need to do there, and I don't know what's going to happen drainage-wise.
Right, and it will be impossible to do the project without having some heavy equipment in that area. Correct. If you're going to do...
When we do the school addition, for sure that will be off of site. And now if we move the playground to the south, that'll be on site as well. Mm-hmm. So the only thing we'll have is whatever work we need to do on Ivy Street to finish that out.
Okay. I would just request that you attempt to limit, minimize construction access. Or,
quick question go ahead. Staff. The abandonment, will that just be to where their driveways and that sidewalk and ends? Is that that gravel area, is that what's considered Ivy Street now?
Actually, there's a cul-de-sac there.
No, the one with the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Let me get there.
So that's the right-of-way right now.
Okay. So that loop area is still part of Ivy Street, basically. Oh, I'm sorry. So that loop area is still considered a cul-de-sac part of Ivy Street. That's what's being abandoned back to that yellow line? No?
Yes. Yes. The property line will, there's a jog there between the two property lines, but basically this was kind of unusual. That used to be a subdivision back there, and they abandoned the property lines, but they never abandoned the cul-de-sac. And it makes absolutely no sense.
They were going to probably plant houses around there or something, and they just
at the time, yes. Right. In fact, where the parsonage is, that was all planned to be developed, and they abandoned all the property lines back there, but they never abandoned the cul-de-sac. So that's why we're doing it now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
I'd like to make a motion if we're ready for that.
Okay. Just one more. Any more comment from staff? Okay. Okay. We'll entertain a motion or comment from the public.
Sorry, Jared Fazer again. So I had a couple of questions with, you know, the conditions. So it sounds like they would still be replacing the fence that's currently there. Yeah. Would that change locations? With the abandonment, are they taking the entire dirt area? Are they taking just the cul-de-sac piece? Currently, I have like a 4-foot fence that meets up with their chain link that shares that property line. That's one of the questions I have. Another one is that my property overlaps that dirt area by 10 feet. Previous owner purchased 10 feet of property from the church in order for an RV access. So if that is given, if all that dirt area is then given to the church, I mean, I'm concerned that I eventually in the future might not have access to that driveway piece because I will be pulling onto private land in order to access the RV access because my property overlaps that dirt 10 feet.
If your property line,
comes
Their fence would have to follow the property line, whatever that, wherever that was.
Your fence currently is on your property, your 10 feet easement?
No, no, it's not currently. Their fence currently meets up with a 4-foot fence I have along the side and the front there. But that piece, I don't know if we can get a better aerial that doesn't have the lines. There's an asphalt strip that goes along that side of my house that's RV access. So that overlaps the dirt 10 feet in the street. So if that entire dirt area was then given to the church.
Is that on the south side of your property or your fence?
That's correct, south side.
Well, if that's a deeded right or a deeded parcel, then.
Danny Rauter, for the record, the abandonment would be at the projection of that property line. So the south side of your property directly out.
Directly out. So then we would have a 10-foot strip of dirt in between.
Correct.
Okay. So with this plan, you're still planning on then abandoning that property, even though they don't technically need it. If they're not putting the sports courts on it?
Yeah.
I think the condition reads that needs to be abandoned, and I think they're going to need that to be doing drainage improvements if they flop it. That would be our stance.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I'm following where you say that that the previous owner acquired
if you could pull up another, or just even, I don't know, a street view. Yeah, you can see kind of, so it jogs a tad bit, the property lines do, you know. So exactly, like right there is my property line. When across the street, it's 10 feet to the north.
Right.
So I have an extra 10 feet there on the south side of my property.
Right. Well, the fence would just come straight across from your property line.
So at my property line, there would be a 6-foot high fence then.
Right.
No buffer, nothing. It's just.
Well, you have that 10 feet. Or,
no, that's a driveway there, though. That's an RV access. Yeah. So I'm literally like just have a fence right here, you know, going across the street.
Can I point to where the fence, where we proposed the fence?
Right. I would say, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, the abandonment, from what I understood from the plans, would occur at this fence line,
Is
to the south of the driveway and to the south of the current buffer area.
Okay, so that's...
So we have to keep access to the parsonage driveway?
Yep.
Oh, so the fence goes from that corner across, but then it goes up and it's adjacent.
Into the mic.
I just showed you where the fence goes. It's on the plan. That's all I can tell.
Okay.
I was just trying to make sure that it would stay the same, even though that they don't need that extra room now for the sports court.
That will remain the same.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Identify yourself, please.
I'm sorry, Barbara Nicholas, 601 Ivy. Okay. The few kids that live there do walk by. It's not a problem. I just want to ask, it's a no outlet now with the proposal of the sports court being in the middle south. Would that still always remain a no outlet?
Yes.
And the fence would just be an additional
way
of
bar.
People not dropping kids off. I mean, and which even kids, but, you know, the constant traffic. I just wanted to understand.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. One more.
Richard N. for the record. We're in the corner pocket there. If I could still... ask that when you decide to move forward with your motion that mandate still be there, that construction equipment not go through Ivy. I'm not sure we're comfortable with just an effort that they're going to do their best.
Well, it may be it's a public street. We can't actually limit their use of it.
Sure.
I think minimizing it is about the best we can do.
Well,
Richard, will you say your name again?
Richard Yen, my last name is spelled Y-I-E-N. We just think that ultimately the church benefits from them. They should have the burden of having to, you know, make sure that people are safe, whether it be children inside their school. What you're essentially saying is they're more important than ours. If you just say go down Ivy instead of go down,
But if they're going to be doing improvements at the end of Ivy, they may have to do that.
Can I point out? Can you bring up the map again? Not this one, but I don't know. I just want to tell you when the photo. Right there is good. Can I just point?
Take the mic, please.
So if you just have them go down, you know, this area, even if they need to do repairs on Ivy Street, they can just do that through here. They don't have to go down over there. That's all we're asking.
Yeah. It's true. We don't. It's a public street.
I think that minimizing it is probably the best that we can do.
Thank you for your consideration.
Okay. Okay, I'm ready for motion.
Okay, first I would like to address the conditions before we go to the planning director's motion. That the applicant submit to the planning department a plan which shows that the lock gate would be included there on the north side, the location of it, that the court, the basketball court, be located to the southerly, as close to the southerly property line, and as reasonably close to the buildings, the school's buildings, as possible, and that the drain be relocated so that this is possible without having a dangerous situation for the kids. And I believe that covers
the
it.
Traffic. The playground. The construction equipment.
Oh, yeah. That the applicant have his construction people use the southerly access to the school rather than the street where the cul-de-sac is being removed for locating and bringing in equipment and whatever is needed to do the grading.
And the courts and the playground. The playground is part of the courts.
Yeah, I've got that in there. And then I would say, with that additional condition, I move to approve SUP-15-065, a special use permit request from agent J.P. Kopopoulos, owner, Bethlehem Lutheran School, to allow the addition of classrooms to an existing school and modification of the school site playground and outside sports areas in the single-family 6,000 zoning district located at 1845 Mountain Street. APN 001-111-33, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report, plus the added conditions just mentioned.
I'll second that. Commissioner Sattler.
Any further discussion of this item? I'll take the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The special use permit has been approved. Thank you very much, and thank you, public, for your input. It was very helpful. We'll take a 5-minute break.
And welcome back, Sue. Thank you.
bring this meeting back to order. We will move on to item F4, which is SUP-14-081A for possible action to consider a request from WSCC Inc., property owner Sandbar, for a special use permit to increase the allowed wall signage from 15 square feet to 140 square feet on property zoned general commercial located at 2765 Highway 50 East, APN 008-312-12. Ms. Pansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is a request for the previously approved medical marijuana dispensary located on Highway 50 to increase their signage allowance from 15 square feet to 140 square feet. And I'm just going to briefly go through my presentation, but the applicant's representative also has a presentation, so I'll do mine and then I'll switch over so that he can continue with his. The subject property is located on Highway 50. This is actually a pretty close-up aerial, but the suite that the dispensary is going to be occupying is at the very north end where the highlighter is indicating. The applicant is proposing, like I said, 140 square feet total, 70 square feet per side. Under the current medical marijuana dispensary or medical marijuana establishment ordinance, a total of 15 square feet is allowed. It's consistent with office uses, which staff deliberately selected because the medical marijuana establishments had been presented to not only us at the local level, but also at the state level, as more consistent with a medical office type of use or a pharmacy type of use. Therefore, we felt it appropriate to make it consistent with that. A couple things that I'd like to note, because this is located in a general commercial zoning district. However, dispensaries are only allowed in general commercial zoning districts and general industrial zoning districts. So the fact that it's in a general commercial corridor is not something that staff considered as relevant as it related to the signage allocation that we had identified in the ordinance. In addition to that, we don't feel that this is a destination that is going to be frequented by just passersby. It's going to be a specific destination by registration card holders, which is another reason why we feel that the smaller amount of signage is appropriate. And I'll note that office uses, the way that our signage code works is office uses, regardless of the zoning district that they're in, would be allowed the 15 square feet regardless. So if an office use was within the general commercial zoning district, the allotment for the square footage would be the same. The pictures that I'm showing up here on this slide, the one on the top, these are all provided by the applicant in their application. The one on the top is the approximate square footage of the 15 square feet that would be allowed. On the bottom indicates the two sides at 70 square feet for a total of 140 square feet. So you can kind of get a sense of the difference between the two. Staff is not recommending approval of the 140 square feet. However, we do feel that because this is located on the end of the shopping center building, that an additional 15 square feet would be appropriate, that the applicant could either use on the second side of the building so they could have two frontages, or they could utilize 30 square feet on one side if they felt that would be more appropriate. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Would this be in addition to a sign on the plaza sign?
Yes.
Do any other commissioners have any questions for Ms. Pansky? Okay. Would the applicant like to address the commission, address this item, please? Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chairman Eswine. My name is John Krumpotic. I'm with KLS Planning in Reno. I'm doing some work in Carson City as well. I did represent these gentlemen the first go-around about a year ago for the medical marijuana dispensary and the cultivation. I think it's worth note that you're dealing with some real stellar business people and citizens in the community, and it gives me some comfort in working with them. Dean Albright is the president of a CPA firm in Reno, who's one of the principals. One of his partners is Joe Crowley, who's been very much in the news with their interest in this medical profession, this business as well. So we do appreciate the recommendation from staff, but they still feel very much disadvantaged and in a compromised position with the 15 square feet or 30 square feet, thus the request. The troublesome part of this is that, you know, you're in that intense commercial corridor, as Ms. Pansky pointed out. It's entirely GC, very intense traffic speeds, very intense signing. I have it in a couple of images. And so 30 square feet collectively on, you know, 15 on one side of the building and 15 on the other just pales in comparison to what's going on. And I think, you know, that would be one of really three key points here that gives me any comfort even approaching this topic with the commission and staff, and that is the dominance of GC zoning and what goes along with that in the allowed signing. We're basically asking for half or just less than half of what would be allowed for a retail use in a shopping center. It is retail zoning, it is a shopping center, and there's nothing that would indicate this is a dispensary when you look at how well they're putting together the tenant improvements, the exterior improvements, the landscaping, and the signing. Sierra Walton's connection, very well done by our sign expert. I think probably the biggest underlying issue, and this comes from the state law, you know, it's fiercely regulated as it should be. There's been a lot of caution in the way this is delivered and absorbed then down by the Carson City and the local level, but this whole issue of the facility must have an appearance that is professional, orderly, and dignified. That's key, and it was just written exactly that way on the local level. And I look at this signing and the sign request and say, again, it's very well done. There's nothing that would suggest a hint of medical marijuana in any of their program. And so it seems to validate part of our request. The other is the way the language reads, traditional style of pharmacy or medical office. This is not a medical office, it's a shopping center. It doesn't appear or could be anything to look like a pharmacy. So I keep emphasizing the retail component and the retail nature of it because it is a retail use in the shopping center. And then the other thing is, you know, the high speeds, if you look at the Highway 50 actually transitions to 45 mile per hour when you go across the other side of the freeway, 395. So there is some relationship between signing and need for signing and speeds and volumes of street. And the fact that it goes, it's located in that 45 mile per hour design speed zone, they simply would like a little bit more presence to be more in line, or say half in line, with what would be allowed for any other retail use in this corridor. Those are my basic points, and I do appreciate an opportunity to be heard by the commission, and I would be here for any questions. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions? Mr. Sattler.
I believe the signage, the idea of this whole thing was that to keep it kind of low-key, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's not like myself or anyone else is going to be going there to shop. That there are specific users that will be using your facility.
Mm-hmm.
And once they have found it once, they'll know where it is. Plus, you will have a sign also on that front area as well. But that was kind of the reason we did the signage requirements we did, was because, again, to keep it fairly low-key, small.
Yeah.
And your sign is very lovely.
Yeah.
But again, that's the reason it was kind of set up that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Owen.
This, basically, that size of sign becomes advertisement, and that's not what we're looking for. I mean, as he said, once they find your facility, that's what's necessary, not to advertise the fact that there is something else there.
Commissioner Solano.
Yeah, I looked at the site and where the signs would go, and the sign right there on the wall would fit into 15 square feet very easily. And it seems to me that that's certainly large enough for two locations. That's my thoughts. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts?
If I could just show a quick photo, Sim, of the show the north elevation at 70 feet. The north elevation being the one facing the highway. Susan, if you could scroll down a couple more signs. That one right there. There's an indication that's scale drawing. That sign, 70 square feet on that building face. What's that?
Again, it looks like advertising, because it's the idea, again, was to keep the signage small.
Yeah.
So that, it, like, Dr. Smith's office or whatever, that's sort of the pharmacy, Rick's pharmacy, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's...
And if you could bear with, you know, the applicants, we came to here the first time, they said, sure, we'll accept the, you know, what the code had offered at the time, not realizing what 15 square foot looks like on a building face. And again, that's half of what the retail would use. So the idea of what's small and what's in keeping, what's right is, I guess it's all perspective and so on.
I'd have one question
yes.
for you. Would you perceive that somebody that wanted what is to be sold in that area, if they pass it and don't see it the first time, that they're going to give up?
No, I wouldn't suggest that. No,
I wouldn't either. So yeah, I don't think
it's not a pass by type of use like the Arco, right. The next door. We all know that, right? Okay. It's just having a little more sign proportion to the use in the building.
Okay, I have a comment that the use. You're going to have to restrict people coming in. So it would seem to me that you wouldn't want to have more than the people who were on their way there showing up at the door, because you're going to have to refuse them entry, if I'm not mistaken, because of the criteria for medical marijuana establishments, and that why you would want to increase your exposure to the just a pedestrian or somebody driving by with a sign that, you know, if I didn't know that you were a medical marijuana facility, I would say, well, gee, maybe it's a massage, you know, physical therapy or massage or some sort of, you know, physician's office, and. It just seems that it would be a little bit more confusing to people to have the larger sign than a smaller sign where people know where they're going, and you've identified the facility sufficient for them to know which end of the building it's at. So that's my comment. Any other questions? Well, I guess we'll give the public a chance to address this, or if you have any further comments.
No, I don't. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone from the public wish to address this item? Please step forward, identify yourself for the record, and speak into the microphone.
Good evening. My name's Jim Benson. I'm at Benson's Feed Store across the street from the applicant. The first thing is the law is 15 square feet. They have, the people they're going to sell to are going to have a little card. They're not selling to everybody in Carson City. This is Carson City. We don't want to advertise that, hey, we have marijuana for sale here in Carson City. They are selling it to people with a medical condition. The applicant, I know they're highly educated people. They know what 15 square feet was. They knew that when they were told. I don't think we have any need for any bigger sign. That's what I feel. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Benson? No? Okay, thank you. Anyone else here to address this issue? Okay. Does the applicant have anything further to add?
I'm not sure that I touched on the 30, but I would hope that the commission would support the staff recommendation for the increase to 30, or really it's 15 foot on each side is I think the way we would pursue it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any commission, any more comment, discussion?
I'd like to make a comment. Elise Monroy for the record, just I guess to put on the record my comment. I think that as these dispensaries have been presented to city officials and state officials as medical offices, it's appropriate that they be treated such as such. There was some, also my second point, in the staff report, it said that the staff recommendation of 30 square feet would be comparable to existing signs in the center, which I think would be appropriate. And then also I think that because the nature of this business isn't to bring in the drive-by customers, I think that 30 square feet or 15 on either side is appropriate. Thank you.
Any other comments or discussion? I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. Monica Green for the record. I motion to approve a request to modify a previously approved special use permit for a medical marijuana dispensary from WSCC Incorporated, property owner Sandbar, to increase the allowed wall signage from 15 square feet to 30 square feet on the property zone general commercial located at 2665 Highway East 50.
2765.
Why can't I read numbers today? 2765 Highway 50 East Suite A, APN 008-312-12, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
Okay. I'd like to second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion of this item? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes for 30 square feet. Moving on to items F5A and F5B. I'll read each one of them separately, but we will consider them together. F5A, SUP-15-066, for possible action, to consider a request from the Hop and May Adams Foundation, property owner, Adams 308 North Curry LLC, for a special use permit to allow an increase in the permitted height in the downtown mixed-use zoning district and to allow the use of the property split-zoned downtown mixed-use and residential office for uses per the DTMU development standards on property split-zoned DTMU and RO located at 308 North Curry Street, APN 003-228-01. And item FB, F5B, a variance, VAR-15-067, for possible action to consider a request from the Hop and May Adams Foundation, property owner, Adams 308 North Curry LLC, for a variance to reduce the required front and side yard setbacks from 10 feet to 0 feet for the construction of a residential duplex and garages on property zoned residential office and to reduce the required setback from a commercial development to a residential zoning district from 30 feet to 0 feet for an addition on the west side of the existing structure within the downtown mixed use DTMU zoning district on property split zoned DTMU and RO located at 308 North Curry Street, APN 003-228-01. Ms. Pansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A lot going on with this application. So
again, the request is for a special use permit and a variance, and I'm going to kind of go through an overview of the project, and then I'll address the special use permit first, and then I'll address the variance request second. So the subject property is a current vacant, dilapidated building on the corner of Curry Street and Telegraph Street. It was the old Citibank building. It's shown here in your aerial. The project site actually includes that building as well as the parking lot to the west of it. All of that is one parcel. This is another picture of the property looking to the north from the south side. The applicant is proposing to modify the existing Citibank building. They're proposing to add two stories for a total of four. And they're also proposing to add two buildings at the west side of the property. One on the northwest corner will include two duplexes and garages. The other building will be all garages. And then I'll note in building A, which is the large building, it will include retail uses on the first floor, office uses on the second floor, residential uses on the third floor, and then a second story for two of the residential uses on the fourth. Some pictures of the building as it currently exists. It's been vacant for quite some time. And then some renderings of what the applicant is proposing. This is a picture of the project. This is the only color rendering I have, but this is looking from to the northwest from the Curry-Proctor intersection. You can see the three stories there. This is the second story that will be added. I'm sorry, the third story, and then the fourth story at the top. In just the one location, and then the garages at the back. Looking to the southwest from the Curry Telegraph side, again, you can see the fourth floor a little bit better on this side. Overall, this building is intended not to look like one building, as you can see from the renderings, but multiple buildings, which is kind of the intent of a lot of the downtown mixed-use standards. Rendering looking to the southeast, this shows the newer buildings, the new buildings that are proposed on the west side in the current parking lot. And those are all the renderings that I have, but I've got some elevations, and these are important as they relate to the special use permit request. So the special use permit request has two parts. The first is to utilize the downtown mixed use standards on the residential office side for things like landscaping and parking. But the second and the most important in the special use permit request is to vary essentially from the downtown mixed use building envelopes that are currently identified in the downtown mixed use standards. So what these elevations show, if you can see in the dashed lines that kind of follow the building somewhat, the dashed lines indicate what is currently allowed in our downtown mixed-use standards. So essentially you're looking at a 36-foot height at the street and then a 47-foot height as you step back to the building. And that's intended to create some variations in wall planes so that you don't have buildings that essentially go straight up and create large corridors. So with the dashed lines that are shown on these elevations, you can see where the applicant is proposing to exceed the building envelope. It's just in a couple of locations, and it's not excessive. And I'm not going to go into the specifics of exactly how many feet it is on every side. That's pretty well identified in the staff report. But overall, the height is 52 feet, which is 5 feet above the maximum currently. And then they're, again, proposing to go a little bit higher in some of the areas where the 36-foot height is currently allowed. Staff is in support of the applicant's request on both this elevation and then the other side as well. You can see same thing, varying in the overall height and then the height at the street level. We support the request by the applicant because we believe that the variations in the wall planes they've provided in their architecture more than meets the intent of the downtown mixed-use standards for the varying wall planes. The second request is for variance to vary on the residential office side of this property. As the chairman mentioned, this property is split zone downtown mixed-use and residential office. The west side parking lot is currently zoned residential office. The setbacks on that side are 10 feet on the front and 10 feet on the street side. you can actually see where the setback is with this line here. That's the current setback. So the applicant is requesting that they be allowed to vary from that setback in that location so that they can utilize the entire site to the best of their ability and also create a more cohesive project, because on the downtown mixed-use side of the project, zero lot line is already allowed. So it's kind of just a continuation of that. The second part of the variance is a request to vary from a standard that requires 20 feet setback for a commercial project from a residential zoning district. And so basically what we're talking about is this little piece right here. That's theoretically a commercial project because it's mixed use, and it's right up against the residential office zoning district, even though the residential office zoning district is part of the applicant's project as well. So staff supports both of the applicant's requests for variances. I believe that, yeah, that is the extent of my slides, and I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
Does anyone have any questions? Mr. Rowan.
I'm not positive what the usage of the main building is, but it certainly looks to me as though parking has become an issue now. It seems that we have a negative impact on parking down there.
Yes, and thank you for mentioning that. I should have brought that up in my report. I've identified in the staff report that parking has been reduced. The original parking on the site was 28 spaces. With the addition of the uses proposed by the applicant, they would be required to have a total of 48 spaces. Now, they're not proposing as a part of this request where that parking will be. They are providing 20 spaces on the site, but we have recommended a condition of approval that they can either, they would either need to do a special use permit for off-site parking within 300 feet, which is allowed by the code, or they can utilize our fee in lieu program, which is identified in the downtown mixed-use standards. However, that program has not been put together yet by staff, so we would need to work with them on that. And we have initiated discussions internally about that program. So they would need to do that. Right now, the condition says prior to building permit. The applicant's representative let me know after the staff report came out that they would like to submit for building permit within a couple weeks. And so they intend to request that that condition be modified to basically work the parking out prior to issuance of the building permit, and staff supports that change in the condition.
Okay. Mr. Statler.
Can you go back to the original picture of the site the way it is now? Just curious, back,
that was the aerial.
Aerial, I guess. That lot south, is that part of the, is that on the property, or is that owned by somebody else, or what is?
That's actually public right-of-way, so it's owned by the city.
But there is parking in there as well.
It is parking, but it would not be able to be utilized as off-site parking under a special use permit, correct?
Yeah, I'm just Lee Flemmel, Community Development Director. Just to talk about parking a little bit. So this, you know, that, again, they still have to address parking, and we're not sure they have different ways to do it, but you know, that type of available parking would be part of a consideration of variance or special use permit or other, because it's more than the regular on few parking spaces that you have there that are available. We had a similar situation with the parking variance on Garth Richards Boulevard for a medical office, right? Because there's angled parking rather than just on street parking, and so it's something that can be considered. But we don't have a final answer for you as to how they're going to address that tonight, but they do need to do it.
That lot, wasn't that a street at one time?
It still is.
It still is a right of way. Yeah, it's a public right of way. That first row of parking on either side there is in the city right of way.
Okay. Any other questions? I have a question regarding the building height request. From the illustration that you showed us with the maximum line under current code and the request, has anybody done a volume calculation to see what if there's any change? You know, are the volumes pretty much the same? It looks like they probably are, but
If it was a nice boxy structure, that would be easier than...
No, I understand, but it looks like it might be fairly close to being about the same volume.
Sorry for jumping in there, too, but I think that's what Susan's saying. Part of that, not only all the variations, but it's not across the board exceeding the envelopes. It's exceeding it in certain places and not and right. leaving some extra.
And it also looks like most of the structure that's outside of the existing envelope would be roof area rather than actual living space. Okay. Any other questions?
I'd just like a clarification on the parking that they're going to add. Do they have to create the extra parking, or can they use parking that exists and call it part of that project?
So the way the condition reads now is that they can either get a special use permit to utilize off-site parking within 300 feet, so that would be existing parking, or they can look at using our fee in lieu program, which is basically where they would pay a fee to the city instead of providing specific parking, and that money essentially would go towards future parking improvements for the overall public in downtown,
which is already pretty well strained as far as parking.
I don't know that I would necessarily say that.
Okay, thank you.
The parking garages are obviously enough to absorb all the people that live there or whatever in their vehicles. And then there is some open spaces in there as well.
That's correct. There are 10 spaces within the private garages and 10 surface spaces for a total of 20.
So they're really only talking about adding 18 or something?
They actually have to add 28.
You have to add 28. Mm-hmm,
because they need to make up for the parking that they had originally, which was 28, mm-hmm. and then there's an additional 20 that are required as a part of this project for a total of 48.
Okay. So that the 28 are in addition to what shows up on the site plan. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, is the applicant here? Please identify yourself for the record and speak into the microphone, please.
Sure. Good evening. I'm Rob Darney. I'm the architect on the project.
Maya McKenzie, and I'm the chief professional officer for Hoppin May Adams Foundation.
Thank you.
Just quickly, in case any of you, first of all, thank you for letting us appear tonight. In case any of you aren't familiar with the Hoppin May Adams Foundation, it's a charitable foundation that was started by the former owners of the Nugget Casino. They had a very successful casino here in Carson City and made quite a bit of money off of it. So when they passed away, they wanted to give back to the community that they felt had given them so much. They created a charitable foundation with the goal to help Carson City become a more thriving community that was a great place to live, work, and play. Obviously, with the downtown master plan, that plays right into the foundation's vision for helping the community. What the foundation looked at is when they came into being in 2008, there were a number of closed, dilapidated buildings in downtown Carson City. They have purchased three of them. One of them is at 111 West Proctor Street, which we completed the renovation of, and it's now a business incubator to help young businesses get started and graduate onto bigger buildings in Carson City. The second one is what is now the Lake Tahoe Brewing Company, and we're just finishing up the renovation on that building. And so the Citibank is the next big project that the foundation is taking on. Part of what we're trying to do is to embrace the concept of giving people places to live, work, and play. Studies show that if you have people in a downtown area and they're living there and doing all their activities there, it's going to become a center for activity, and it's going to make the whole community stronger. So we feel that making this third story on the building, which I guess is considered a fourth, it's a couple of lofts, but we think that's going to make this just a much better place for people. In fact, Because we're a small town, the word's gotten out that we're hoping to do this. We have received a ton of calls from people who are already saying, can I have one of these apartments? I'd love to live there. So it's exciting. People are embracing the idea of being able to live downtown. We're excited about that. Rob has done a great job of creating a building that fits in with the historic nature of our downtown area. And we're really pleased by the way that is turning out, and we are just confident that this building is going to do what we need it to help Carson City get to the next step.
Thank you, Maya. I'm here to address any questions you might have about the building. Just to start off with your first question about the massing, obviously our request for the height is a necessity of the roof structure. It's not any living structure that's increasing on that. Had more to do with just completing the project. And it is about an equal mass trade between the void and the addition of what we're, if you were to cut it out. Obviously, the dotted line that the city has as their zoning ordinance is, it's a rule, it's a line, but it's also you won't want a building that shape in that spot if that's what you were going to do. So by undulating the facade, I think we have a good balance in that, and she said, I think the maximum that we're asking for is 5 feet in the height in specific locations, not the whole building. Also, the two buildings to the west, which are a single-story building and a two-story building, those are there on purpose for the sake of buffering to the neighborhood to the west. If a developer came in and wanted to put a hotel here, they would want to build the whole block out, and we don't want to see that. Acknowledge the neighborhood, and the whole purpose for this thing being here is to draw people to the neighborhood. The apartments on the top were very well thought out and over a long period of time of discussion and interviews with neighbors and businesses, and they're all other than the two that are two-story, they're all two-bedroom apartments, and that was purposely done because we don't really want to draw families necessarily with children. But we also don't want small apartments that the senators and the congressmen are going to come snap up and only be here for a few weeks every year and go back to Vegas. We want to have full-time tenants that live there, eat there, spend their money there. That's the purpose of why this is being built. The rest of the building is mixed use. The center middle story, which is now the second level, is going to be business office, professional offices, those kind of things. Right now, it would be an empty shell for lease, and it'll be built out as a build-to-suit. The ground level is set up mainly for a restaurant-type use, retail, commercial, but mainly food service-type environment. And we also have, if you can scroll back to the site plan there. The ground level is also conducive because of the restaurant feature that we're going to do patios and outdoor seating areas. Part of this project is also in conjunction with the incubator building across kind of kitty corner to the southeast, and we're in talks right now in design with Nevada Energy to eliminate their main power vault that's in the street, the last remaining one in Carson City. It's actually underground in the street. We're going to be relocating it into the planter in the parking lot that the city owns, and they're in talks with us, and we're going to provide two car charging stations and a hub, electrical hub for use for events such as Nevada Day or crafts fairs, so that those people can plug in somewhere other than stringing the extension cords they do now from various businesses and stealing power. second part of this project is the west side, which is now an empty parking lot, has been for a few decades now, a pretty unsightly place. We had a couple options there. The first and foremost thing we had to address was if we're putting apartments, especially of that kind of caliber, because they're going to be upper scale apartments, these aren't going to be the cheap zone, that we needed to provide some secure parking for the tenants, whether that be covered parking or garage parking. And the covered parking really didn't seem like it was going to be a good idea. Nobody likes those parking structures, the shade structures. So what we decided to do is create some buildings that were the same scale as the neighborhood, similar architecture that helped buffer that building from the west to the neighborhood to the west. There are still a few residences along Nevada Street there that I'm sure, would not like to see a four-story building right in their front yard. We're asking for the 10-foot setback easement because of two reasons. One is if we go back to 10 feet, we pretty much kill the ability to use that as a through affair for parking and traffic. The second reason is that if we push the garage building back, people will simply park in front of their garages on the apron. If we push the building closer to the street, there's not enough room to park. They must then park in their garage. And that gets rid of the unsightly cars that if we were to do a parking lot, we would be required to screen anyway. The building on the left lower corner, that has two apartments. And those are kind of created the same way to create the Victorian type of architecture in a residential structure. Can you go back to the rendering of that corner? Right there.
That's good.
So this turret you see on the corner, that's kind of a recurring theme in Carson. There's several of them in the neighborhood. And that is a two-story apartment, so it touches the ground there. The front door is right there in the center, and it has a balcony and bedrooms upstairs. I imagine down the road in 20, 30 years, that could also easily be converted to an office. But we're seeing more and more now that we're going the other way downtown. We're now converting office space back to residential use. I'm involved in another project doing just that. So that's kind of our project in a nutshell. It's an interesting project. It was, you know, how do you put lipstick on a pig when it first started? And we've gone a long way. So I'd like to entertain any of your questions.
Okay, before we go any further, you have had an opportunity to read the staff report.
Yes.
And the conditions of approval.
Yes.
And you are in agreement with those?
We are.
And with the modification that Ms. Pansky mentioned?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, any commissioners have any questions?
It seems like you've created some buildings that have no backside. Everything is nicely done in accordance with the way we used to do it, you know, 100 years ago, approximately.
Foresighted
architect. And I'd like to congratulate you for that. The main question that I have is the existing structure that's there, you are able to remove the non-structural elements from that building and utilize the structural system that exists into the large building.
That's correct.
Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
That was the biggest challenge was how much of the existing building can we save? As you probably know, the building's already gone through a demolition permit and demolition, so most it's completely gutted. However, the exterior is pretty intact as far as fascias and overhangs and things like that. If you can go back to maybe the photograph of the original building. The building itself is essentially a rectangle with toothpicks around the perimeter holding up the roof. That's pretty much how it's built. The toothpicks, however, are the main structure. They are connected through the building with steel beams, and the walls you see there with the vertical windows are concrete block, which are nearly non-structural, and they're actually currently an incredible hazard because they're not seismically braced and they're not grouted properly. So we are concerned about making sure we get something going here. Otherwise, we'll have to go in there and do some temporary bracing here right away. So a lot of that interior walls that you see at CMU will be coming out and being replaced. The main skeletal frame, we're going to utilize some of those toothpicks will get cut off at halfway point, a few, two or three. The rest will be built right into the existing, the proposed structure.
Thank you.
Any other questions? And looking at the site plan, I really understand the idea of moving the buildings up to the sidewalk to increase or to eliminate the possibility of people parking in their driveways. And I commend you on having the garage entrances on the rear for the secondary building, because I think that will certainly improve the streetscape along Nevada. My only question is, did you consider, and I think I understand why you didn't do it, but did you consider having your garages for the residential structure
enter from the parking lot, from the interior of the site?
Yes, actually we did. We studied all those options. And the reason that we came up with this one as a final solution was to move those garage doors around so we don't just have a wall of garage doors lined up. Two or three in a row is common through the neighborhood. Matter of fact, it's kind of preferable to see a garage here and there through the neighborhood. And that's kind of why we did it, because now you have three garages in the middle opening to the back, two go onto the street to the north, and the one that shares with the apartments go to the street on the north, and there's two on the bottom right that go right onto the street also. So you get a little variation. You don't have a lot of garage doors lined up, but that was really the main reason for that.
Okay. Another comment that I'd like to make on the variance request is that on the site plan, you're showing the buildings to the property line, but in reality, there is a planter strip between the sidewalk and the property line.
That's correct.
Which currently is a parking lot.
That's correct.
And this will be a vast improvement over
that.
Yes,
we'll be fully landscaping this beyond the minimum requirements.
Yeah, so even though you don't own that, it will be...
We're still responsible for the landscaping,
and you'll probably be responsible for that landscaping.
I don't know if you'll see me down there watering.
Well, the owner will be responsible.
I'll know all the right phone numbers.
And then on the variance request for the separation of the commercial to the residential.
Can I address that for just a minute?
Sure.
If you notice that little blip there that she pointed out, that's actually the exact location of their drive-through that used to be there for the bank. So even though it violates the current zoning between those two zoning things, it isn't something that wasn't there before.
It's an existing use.
Right. And that's actually the exit stair that we're adding for the building. And so that's kind of that little corner there. You can see, like you were mentioning, Dan, that we had to create four-sided architecture here. There is no back, hidden back where we're going to be able to hide the semi-truck. It's not possible on this site. We're proposing with the city's, another one of the advantages to this with the NB Energy is where we see on the lower right there, there's dumpsters right there. And currently the dumpsters are right here on our site, and they are kind of the neighborhood dumpsters. All the retail and the restaurants up in this area here wheel their stuff over and use those dumpsters. So we kind of figured why we don't swim upstream. Let's get together and let's build. They're going to get rid of the big electrical telephone pole and platform transformers that are there now. Those will go away, and that's city property, but I think we're in agreement that that's going to be best utilized for a kind of a community trash enclosures that will help that area considerably.
So the city has been involved in this discussion. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any other questions, comments? Okay.
Well, I have a comment.
Okay.
I just think that it would be a very attractive structure in that particular location. Perhaps it will help the future development of Carson City when they see this. And perhaps it will even influence maybe the mall that's, underway. I think you've done a wonderful job as far as the architecture concerned. I can say that as an architect.
I appreciate
also.
That.
I commend you for that. And that's basically all I have to say.
I have one other question. Go ahead, Mr. Owen.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but obviously, as the architect, you've dealt with the parking spaces or looked at that.
Yes.
And the off-site parking, what do you propose?
Right now, there, like Susan said, there's several different avenues we can pursue, which we are at the current moment. Right now, the probably a mixed version of is going to end up being what we use. Some of the current parking that we can absorb and use or get a agreement with for shared parking, or the fee in lieu, which they're working out the details on that. And we actually support that the most, because that puts money into the city coffers to be used for parking in that area. Whether that means upgrade and upkeep of existing parking, or it might also mean a future parking garage if one should come bouncing along. and there's plans and future hopes that a parking structure on this side of Main Street will be incorporated into a project at some point, including possibly the city parking that's there currently, and or there's several within a few blocks. So that's kind of our take on it right now. We're pursuing all those possibilities and balancing what's best for the downtown and what's the most beneficial to the project itself.
Mr. Sattler.
I didn't notice, will the angle parking out in front still be there?
It's gone already.
It's already gone.
Yeah, okay. And that's actually part of the redevelopment of the downtown that's currently going to be starting underway.
But it is parallel.
I should have lent this to John. He would have appreciated it. these parking is what you're talking here.
Right.
Those are already parallel parking. As
that's
you see
parallel
there.
Now.
Yeah, and they have plans to redo this whole area here. It also shows on here that they're redoing our sidewalk, which we'll be in contact with them to find out how we're going to do that jointly so we, don't overlap each other's project.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Monroy.
Elise Monroy, for the record. I'd just like to say, so this is my first Planning Commission meeting. I was very recently appointed and sworn in right before I sat down here today. And I came to Planning Commission because I was looking for a tie to Carson City. I'm a new resident, and I love it here. I didn't feel connected to the community. And I've seen and heard that there's going to be lots of exciting things happening in Carson in regards to development and growth. And it's projects like this that I was excited, that made me excited about being on the Planning Commission. The current building is gross there. And I definitely think, I don't know if there's a technical term for that, but it's gross.
It is.
Oh, yeah, it's gross. And I definitely think this is going to elevate the neighborhood. I live over there, and I'm excited about this. So it's projects like this and seeing plans like this that make me excited to be a planning commissioner. So I just wanted to say thank you for bringing this to us today.
Thank you.
Any other comments? I just noticed I had a note on my site plan that I didn't get to discuss. The fire department requires that 30-foot radius on the inside corner there.
They're talking about, right, I think they work here. We're talking about
right.
This corner right
yes.
here, and that's just a minor modification I'll make.
Okay. It is possible to get that radius.
Not, that's probably like a 20-foot radius currently, so it's minor.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess unless anybody has any questions, I think we'd like to invite the public to comment.
Thank you.
So I'd like to invite anyone from the public who wishes to address this issue to step forward. And
good evening, everybody. I'm Jed Block, for the record. My business is located a block away at 112 North Curry, and my house is at five blocks away at 5602 West Spear Street. The sad part about the garages that are going in, that's where I learned how to ride my bike. I think that was in 1969, and my dad punished me, straightened me out for crossing the street because I wasn't allowed to do that. The saddest thing about this whole thing was when the Neely house was torn down by Union Federal way back in the day. And Rob brought this over to the Historic Resources Commission and showed us, and Maya, being a lifelong resident of Carson, I just like and appreciate their influence that they did this in bringing to go from a blighted, might be the word you wanted, a structure that I think, depending on how you look at it, I mean, somebody had money in the early 60s and decided to do something, but it was probably blighted back then in my estimation. But bringing it together, when Rob talks about the trash enclosure, that is a communal trash enclosure, not because everybody volunteers to use it, because the downtown businesses on Carson Street and Telegraph Square and everything, that's the only trash enclosure that's down there. So they're rectifying another problem in the grease trap that Art Hannafin had to deal with at 318 North Carson. As far as parking goes, a lot of the parking on Proctor Street disappears at 5 o'clock when the Secretary of State's office closes and the Attorney General's office closes, and a lot of those other things. I wish we had more signage downtown for the 3rd Street parking area that the city has. But I think this is an awesome project. I'm so excited that to have more living down here where people are living, I want to see more people down here. For one, it's a safety factor. The more eyes and ears you have out there, the less people want to get into, I guess, shenanigans. But this is just a great project. I love it. I think they've worked really hard, and I hope you guys all like it too. So thank you.
And anybody have any questions for Mr. Block? Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to address this? Okay, I'll bring it back to the commission.
Well, when I first encountered this project, I wanted to be sure that it wasn't just a couple of pretty pictures that were done that didn't relate to the plans. But I went through it very carefully and found that where every place there's a window, it's shown properly so on these nicely done renderings of the exterior. So many times we see a rendering that makes something look great, but it doesn't really happen in the long run because it can't be done. But this has been very carefully thought out, at least in my opinion it has, and I think it's going to be a great project, and I'd like to move for approval.
Does anybody else have any comments or wish to discuss any other components of this? Does staff have any other comments?
Just a reminder to make that modification of the one condition in your motion.
Which was, if you could repeat that, please.
On condition, let me just get to it. Condition number 7, instead of prior to submittal for a building permit, put prior to issuance of a building permit.
I will entertain a motion on the request for a special use permit.
I would like to do so, if I may. I move to approve SUP 115-066, a special use permit request from the Hop and May Adams Foundation property owners, Adams 308 North Curry, LLC, to allow an increase in permitted height in the downtown mixed-use zoning district and to allow the use of property split zone downtown mixed-use and residential office with uses per the downtown mixed-use development standards on property split zoned downtown mixed-use and residential office located at 308 North Corey Street, APN 003-228-01, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report. And
we're going to do one at a time,
I
yes,
believe,
yes.
Don't we?
So we'd like to have a second on the motion.
Modified condition.
Oh, with the modification. Modification to
with
condition.
With the modification, yes.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion on the special use permit? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then continuing.
So there are no nays, so the motion passes. Okay. The motion for the variance.
I would like to move to approve variance 15-067, a variance request from the Hop and May Adams Foundation property owner, Adams 308 North Curry, LLC, to reduce the required front and street side yard setbacks from 10 feet to 0 feet for the construction of a residential duplex and garages on property zoned residential office, and to reduce the required setback from a commercial development to a residential zoning district from 20 feet to 0 feet for an addition on the west side of the existing structure within the downtown mixed-use zoning district on property split-zoned downtown mixed-use and residential office located at 308 North Curry Street, APN 003-228-01, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
I'll second that. Oh, with the modification.
Is the modification involved in that one, too?
Yeah, so the condition, there's only one staff report for both, and the conditions apply to both.
The conditions apply to both. Okay, thank you. So with the additional condition.
With the additional condition.
Okay. I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing your project.
Thank you.
As soon as possible.
Okay, moving on to item F6, TPUD-15-069 for possible action to continue to the September 30th, 2015 Planning Commission meeting, a request from Project One, property owner Jackson Family Living Trust, 52500, for a tentative planned unit development of 41 single-family detached residential lots, including a special use permit to allow a residential use on property zoned general commercial, and variances to allow reduction in the minimum lot size, reduction in required parking, reduction in required open space, and reduction in required periphery setback on property located at 250 Eagle Station Lane, APN 009-123-38 and 39. Ms. Pansky.
Yeah, I just want to open this up. So obviously this is on the agenda to continue this item, and I sent the email out to the Planning Commission about this. So the applicant, Don Smith is here, who's the applicant on this. So the applicant submitted this application in time to be on this agenda tonight. And part of the noticing requirement is that not only within 300 feet all properties, but all residents of a mobile home park have to be notified. And we're still even trying to figure out exactly where the error occurred to make sure it doesn't happen again. But somewhere between the list and the labels, the address has got up. So we got a whole stack of notices back from the mobile home park residents that didn't get delivered. And sure enough, looking at the list of the mailing labels, they went to some place where they couldn't be delivered. So getting them back not in time to meet the noticing requirements, we've continued it. So of course, I know we've apologized to the applicant, and here, you know, with things happening, we're certainly sorry about that. We want to try to eliminate these type of errors altogether, certainly. But is there anybody, so it's on the agenda to continue it, just to, we didn't plan on taking public comments. However, if there's, is there anybody here to make comments on this item tonight on Eagle Station Lane planned unit development? No, Jackson Village? No, okay. Is there anybody here to take comment tonight I'm asking the question because I think if there is, people have sat through the meeting and you want to hear a comment, we don't have an application. They're not going to take action on it. It's going to be continued to the September meeting. But if somebody is here and wants to make comments for us to consider, and you consider that, that's fine too.
Because some people did get notices. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And are you here to make a comment on this item? Typically we have the applicant, but Mr. Schmidt, do you want to? Okay. So if you'd like to make a comment, you can come up now, or you could wait until the September 30th meeting when the applicant is actually going to make his presentation, and the board is actually going to be voting on the application.
I'll offer too. So Lee Plemmel, over here, community development director. If you have some comments or want to. You may in the next few weeks also come into our office and take a look at it. And if you want to take a look at it, then if you have any comments that you want us to forward to them for the next meeting when they consider it, we can do that as well.
I'd like to see
one. Sure.
P- Please identify yourself and speak into the microphone.
My name is Paula Ray, and I live in South Point. And if you go down Eagle Station, my house is right there at the very end of Eagle Station. And I am so glad that something is going to be done with that area, because it's been an eyesore for as long as I can remember. The one thing I do want to say is I feel that there are too many homes in only 3.6 acres, I think. And from what I have seen of the map, there's only one way in. And if somebody had to come in with an ambulance or a fire truck, it just goes in a complete circle. And it just seems like so many homes in such a small area. And I want to know, are these going to be cheap homes? Are they going to be nice homes like the apartments that they just talked about? How you want to make this city, especially when the freeway is finished, you know, you want people to come to Carson City. Right now, I've lived in Carson City for 16 years. I absolutely love the town. I love the people. But I think it's an eyesore. I think it looks kind of like a low-life town, because there's weeds everywhere. I mean, Justin Tierney, who is in charge, he's the supervisor of the streets. He knows me on a first-name basis. I complain about this. And I worry about all the extra litter that's going to be on the streets with this area where they're going to build all these homes. I worry about sanitation. I wanted to speak because I love where I live, and I take pride in where I live. And it's like they call me the weed lady in South Point, because I keep up Silver Sage, and I spend at least $100 of my own money just in weeds. And I love all this beautiful things that you're showing, and I've been sitting here since 5 o'clock. I had no idea what you people have to go through. And it's like I'm tired of seeing cycling fences with litter everywhere. And I'm tired of seeing the Ormsby house with litter around that. I'm looking forward to having something done in this area. But please think about how many people are going to be in there in 3.6 acres. And think about the drainage of water, that kind of thing. Think about sanitation. And I think you will be hearing from me again. Did you say September 30th?
September 30th, yes.
Thank you for your patience in listening to me.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I entertain a motion to continue this item. Do we need a motion? Yeah.
I move that we continue this to September 30.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay.
Staff report.
We have, going on to staff reports, Mr. Plemmel.
Yeah, we haven't had any items going back to the Board of Supervisors in the last month to report on, so I'll and let's see, what else do we have? I do want to, of upcoming items, before we talk about future Planning Commission items, we are going, I mentioned this last time, we're going to have this Greening William Street program, design charrette with the EPA that's the dates that they're going to come into town is September 28th through the 30th. There's going to be a public meeting the evening of the 28th. Again, I'll forward this by email to you later, but that's coming up. And if anybody wants to participate in any specific planning sessions regarding William Street, just contact me. And anybody watching on TV that has any particular interest in the design of William Street, contact the Planning Division, ask for Lee Plemmel, and I can kind of direct you a little bit more on that to see how you can participate. For future Planning Commission agenda items for next month, we will have another pretty full agenda. We'll have the Jackson Village Planned Unit Development on Eagle Station Lane. We'll have a storage container review. We have a special use permit for multifamily residences and retail commercial on Garth Richards Boulevard right by the golf course. We have a special use permit for a new church at 420 Clear Creek Road down on the south end of town. And we have two special use permits for accessory structures exceeding 75% of the main residence in single family, 1 acre, two separate special use permits for two properties down in the 1 acre area of town. Anything else I want to report to them? That concludes our report. Thanks.
Thank you. Any commissioners have anything to report or wish to comment?
No report, but I have a comment. I'd like to say thank you to my fellow commissioners for making me feel so welcome on my first meeting, and I would like to say thank you to the Planning Division staff for bringing me up to speed. This was a steep learning curve, and I felt absolutely prepared for the meeting today. So I just wanted to say thank you to the staff.
And thank you for your interest in applying and your input tonight.
And welcome aboard.
Okay. One final opportunity for public comment. Seeing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion passes. We're adjourned.
Very interesting.
So, Monica, are you going to the planning?